This is Dr. Holly Lucille's Mindful Medicine. Here's Dr. Holly Lucille.
Hi, folks. Thanks so much for taking the time, downloading this, listening live. I really appreciate it. Obviously, we talk about being mindful medicine, having you being able to wake up, use your own mind, and make decisions that are best for you, your family. And I think that you could probably go about doing that even better if you had a good night's sleep. So today on this topic, this podcast, we are going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects because it is something that I have abused in the past. Certainly, I thought I was of the ilk where I'll just sleep when I die. And as a 51-year-old woman, sleep is one of the most important things to me. And from what I know in my practice, and certainly from what I know from the research, it's not just getting to sleep, it's actually staying asleep and having good sleep hygiene. So we're going to be talking about social jet lag. What is that? Well, I'm going to answer that. And also sleep deficit. I've got a wonderful guest because listen to this. There was a recent study in the academic journal, Sleep. It's a journal called Sleep. I'd get my hands on that because listen, sleep is where it's where tissue repair happens. You rest, relax, you repair. It's where human growth hormone is made when you get to sleep and stay asleep and cycle through all of our stages of sleep. So this was a study suggesting that going to bed and waking up later on the weekends, later than you do on your weekdays, may have negative health consequences. Can you believe that? Everybody's working for the weekend, they get there, they sleep in, and this might be actually working against you. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about regarding social jet lag. It's a term that describes what happens when people go to sleep and wake up later on the weekends than during the week. And I have got the perfect person that's going to break this all down for us, Dr. John Schuen. He is a division chief of pulmonary and sleep medicine at Helen DeVos Children's Hospital. He provides medical care of children with complex pulmonary and respiratory problems and sleep disorders. Can you believe it? You think that this is an adult thing? It's actually happening and affecting our adolescents. He also serves as a director of both Pediatric Sleep Laboratory and the Cystic Fibrosis Care Center. Dr. Schuen, thanks for being on Mindful Medicine.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, this is fascinating. It's such a great subject. So I want to get right into, I teased a little bit about what this social jet lag is, because I've really never heard of that term before today. What is exactly social jet lag?
Well, you know, it's something that's been around for a really long time. This is probably the best and kind of a new description. But you described it very nicely, where someone dutifully Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday goes to bed, an elementary schooler, 8-9-year-old goes to bed 9 o'clock, 9:30, and then on Friday and Saturday night, they then stay up until 11 or 12 or 1.
Right.
Or the teen that is a junior in high school and is in bed by 9:30 or 10 during the weekday, but Friday and Saturday hits and they're up all night. They're involved in a gaming party, or they're at friends, or they're at sleepovers, and they're up all night, and they're up all weekend. And so that causes, in effect, jet lag. And so because you are staying in your home or in your town in which you live, and it's
right,
really
you didn't get on a plane.
No, exactly. You did not get on a plane to New York and fly to LA.
Right.
Then it's social jet lag. And so we can induce jet lag just by shifting our own sleep clock more than a half an hour, an hour, more than our typical bedtime.
Wow. So what happens? What do people experience? What do kids, this is obvious because of kids are in elementary school and they obviously have a schedule, but this is affecting adults too, I imagine, because I know for myself, boy, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, pretty much that alarm is going off. I can't stand waking up to an alarm. Unfortunately, most mornings I have to, but that weekend comes and I do take the liberty of sleeping in. What do people experience? What does this lag feel like?
So, well, it depends on how big the jet lag or the social lag is, really. If it's the matter of a half an hour, you're really not going to feel it. It's really when it's more than that, when it's an hour and a half, 2 hours or more, then you're likely to feel evidence of sleep deprivation. And you may not feel it the Friday and the Saturday because you're shifting your sleep clock. It's going to be most noticeable when you try to shift your clock back. Most of us can shift our clock forward, meaning stay up a little later, but then sleep in a little bit later. Your quality of your night's sleep may not be quite as good as your typical sleep times, but at least you're getting a reasonable number of hours, you know, when you sleep in a little bit more on the weekends. But it's really when you go to move your sleep clock back. So when you've been up till 2 a.m. on a Saturday night, then come Sunday, that you then you try to go to bed at 9:30 or 10. Then one, you may just have difficulty falling asleep because you've shifted your clock so far forward into the middle of the night. And then you'll definitely be tired, feeling sleep deprived come Monday. And so and you just may not be thinking as well. People may not do as well on tests. They may not follow the classroom teacher quite as closely as they would when they are feeling well rested. So it's a lot of cognitive or what they call academic or learning related problems that people see most notably, but they may just be sleepy to the point where they're falling asleep in class. So it could be extreme too.
This might actually be where Monday's got their bad rap, you know. Seriously.
Yes, exactly.
I think we figured something out. It's like, you know, poor Mondays have been picked on for forever. You know, it's like, oh, there's so many jokes about Monday and how bad Mondays are. But maybe this is because we've all been jet lagged from our weekends. So what can we do about it? What are some of the best tips for people to stay on a routine that keeps their sleep schedule sort of in check?
Right. Well, the best advice is to try to minimize the difference between your weekday and your weekend bedtimes. And which is easy to say but hard to do, because most of us like the freedom of not waking up to an alarm clock at 5 or 6 and enjoy the opportunity to maybe be out with friends and or colleagues or just relaxing, watching a movie until later at night. So try to be reasonable. You know, pulling an all-nighter, you're going to see some evidence of sleep deprivation. And you and I both know as physicians that because we've experienced this as interns and residents when we were early in our training, that one good night's sleep does not correct a sleep deficit from a couple of days. And so my advice is, if you're going to have a late night and you're going to be more than an hour and a half or an hour, 2 hours different from your typical sleep night, then plan it for a Friday night. That way you have Saturday night to try to recoup. Try to turn your clock back a little bit closer to bedtime on Saturday night. And then Sunday night, you'll be in a better sleep-wake cycle to then wake up brighter and cheerier on a Monday.
Well, this is really important information for parents as well. You know, especially if kids are struggling in school, if that beginning of the week is just sludge getting them going, if they're having issues, that this is just really important that there are things that you can do on your weekend. Unfortunately, little bit of effort, you know, the weekend isn't just to let it all go. But this is just extremely important. I think it could make a huge difference. I want to ask you a question. I don't know if you know the answer to it, but I have heard, and I can't substantiate this, that as long as you still get up at close to the same time. So let's say I wake up at pretty much 5:30 every morning, and then I go see a late movie on Saturday, and I'm out until 11:30, and then I get to bed about 12:30. Is it true that as long as you stick to that sort of getting up at the same time, that you can mitigate some of this?
Yes, a little bit. Yes, because again, you're going to be more tired that next day. Let's say you stay up till 12:30 or 1 o'clock on Saturday. So if you get up close to your typical wake time Sunday morning, then you will be tired. You'll be sleepy, but then you will want to be. You'll be ready for bedtime at your more regular by bedtime of, say, 9:30 or 10 or whenever you typically go.
Right. So you don't shift that entire cycle. You just, you kind of keep on it, even though you got less sleep. So it doesn't affect, because that rhythm, your circadian rhythm, it is powerful. Your sleep-wake cycle is powerful. I actually was at a conference a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to a person who deals with neurotransmitters. You know, we have our excitatory neurotransmitters and our inhibitory neurotransmitters, and cortisol, of course, that sets our circadian rhythm. And we were talking about, he was just saying that, listen, so many people, when it comes to dealing with insomnia, try to deal with only that part of the cycle. They don't pay attention to the wake cycle. And it kind of hit me like I was just born or cracked from an egg or something. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense, that, you know, we try to, you know, increase our, GABA or inhibitory neurotransmitters, and we just try to focus on that nighttime, but we aren't paying attention to what's happening in the day. And so that whole sleep-wake cycle is a cycle. It goes together. And to have a good day, you've got to have a great night's sleep. To have a great night's sleep, you've got to have good hygiene and stuff during the day.
Exactly.
So it's really a comprehensive way of thinking about it, not so reductionistic as far as, oh, you can't sleep, you have a nighttime thing. It is this whole cycle. So let's talk about hours of sleep, because I know that 8 is the, you know, sort of the magic number that people think about, but both for teens and adults, can you give us an idea about what you think regarding how much sleep we actually should be getting these days?
Yes. Well, and when it comes to teens, they definitely need more than you and I as adults. You know, adults typically, or on average, it's recommended that they get between 7 and 9 hours of sleep. With teens, and we're talking about really even the older teens, you know, the 15, 16, 17 year olds, that they still need 8 to 10 hours of sleep. So that's a full hour or more than we do as adults. And that's because of all the changes that occur in the teenage years, you know, developing from a child to a young man or a young woman, that that the sleep clock is about the last thing to mature. So the 17-year-old still needs so much sleep because that sleep clock just has not matured. It just takes longer. So they still need more sleep. And, of course, toddlers, preschoolers, school age need more than that.
Wow. And then adults, what do you think?
Typically adults 7 to 9, you know, as we get older, so 50-something, 60s, we can get by with maybe a little bit less, 6.5, 7. But adults is typically 7 to 9. And, you know, and that's a general range. You know, there are people who can and do function perfectly well either with a little bit less than that range of 7 to 9 or more than that. But those are the exceptions to the rule. Most of us fit in that range.
Right. And, you know, I think once again, it goes back, it really provokes my thought. Being mindful here on Mindful Medicine is, I think it all depends on what we do with our days. You know, I have a buddy who drinks his sort of evening away, basically. Mm. And most of the time, that activity he did in the day. You know, I have folks that exercise on a regular basis, and they don't really need that much sleep. I think that they're burning off their catecholamines, you know, through that regular exercise that helps moderate those modern day compounded stressors that we have. Mm-hmm. It helps them go to sleep and have a better quality of sleep. They don't have the stimulants of either caffeine or alcohol, and alcohol, yes, can be a stimulant for some folks, but also it is disruptive when it comes to that sleep-wake cycle for sure.
Absolutely.
So those patterns during the day. And so folks, here we're talking about this social jet lag. And, you know, I was reading some of the studies. This has been linked. I mean, we talked about sort of the not being able to do well on tests, but real health consequences, obesity, some of the previous studies suggested, the risk of atherosclerosis, cardiovascular disease, diabetes. I mean,
your immune system.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I'm sure.
All those are negatively impacted by sleep deprivation. That is absolutely true.
Yeah. And then, you know, you think about how enormously high the amount of prescription medications regarding antidepressants are. And then worse, you know, you talk about there's been associations between social jet lag and worsening of mood, fatigue, just this overall poor health. And so such an important and fascinating, I think, subject. It just is. And talk to me more about the children that you see. And also any pointers for parents when, especially, you know, we've got summer on board, and if they're transitioning out of summer and going back into that school routine, what do they do?
That's those are all great questions. So it's natural for us. So I've raised four children, and, you know, we've all seen kind of the
congratulations.
Thank you. Yes. And we, my wife and I survived. So that's, so there's good news ahead for those of you who have younger children. So, but the summer is a time where people do tend to, stay up a little bit later and sleep in a little bit later when they're able to. And, you know, that's, there's nothing wrong with that. If that works out for the family, if, you know, if that works out for their jobs, if they have summer jobs, fine. But once it's time to kind of reset the clock to go back to school, then you want to probably start a week or two before that and start to just gently move the clock back 15 to 30 minutes a night until it just feels better, you know, until the child's waking up more normally and going to bed at a time that the parents and the child feel comfortable with to be successful in school. Avoiding naps is another critical portion of making sure you have a healthy bedtime, because you had mentioned how important it was to try to keep the same wake time or something close to that so that you will feel sleepy at the end of the day. Well, that couldn't be more true when it comes to naps, because what naps do is that it tends to be very refreshing so that you feel better rested, and then it makes it more difficult to fall asleep at a reasonable time of the evening. So then you end up not being able to fall asleep. And so so those are some key components of getting to sleep a little bit earlier. Start to wake up earlier, avoid naps, and try to keep things darker or more dimly lit in the evenings. You know, avoid laptops, tablets, smartphones an hour before bed. Try to get into some kind of a ritual, whether it's a shower or a bath or other things that just kind of help to slow the pace of the day down so that the child will feel like it's time to go to sleep and will feel as though they're in a quieter place. All those things kind of help. Soothing sound machines, soothing sound apps, white noise apps also help with the same reason. It just helps to kind of quiet a busy mind.
You know I asked the question about children, and I'm sorry, John, when you were talking, I just kept, this is great advice across the board. Seriously, mm-hmm. Adults, listen in. This is not just for kids. This is for you too. Absolutely. You know, I have to say, when I go, my mother-in-law has a condominium in Redondo, and when we go down there, the room that we sleep in, it's right by this park, and the park is lit all night long, and there's nothing with the shades that you can do. It still is just very bright. So this time I was like, okay, I'm going to bring a sleep mask. And I did. And I got such a great night of sleep. And, you know, even I think light has been one of these things that, even though, you know, we owe so much to the founders of electricity and all of our modern day advances, I do believe that it's one of the contributing factors to us having a difficult shorter sleep cycle just because of how much artificial light there is. And so whatever we can do to mitigate that. And so I actually, even though my home bedroom is quite dark, I live in, you know, Los Angeles. I live in the city of West Hollywood. There's city lights on the streets, and I wear my sleep mask now just because of that experience. And I can't tell you what a difference it makes. I do believe that that's where that melatonin, you know, that has an inverse relationship with cortisol can make a difference and come splurting out and really allow you to get into those, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 stages of sleep and get there and stay there and have that restorative sleep.
Yes, that's absolutely right. We are creatures of the light and darkness, and the light will suppress our own body's melatonin production. So you are right on the money. The science totally backs up that concept of either a mask over the face or room darkening shades to keep things dark in the evening, because all those things allow your own body's melatonin to do what it was meant to do, to make you sleepy and help you fall asleep and then stay asleep throughout the night. It really, melatonin has been shown to help with a lot of things, including sleep structure throughout the night. So there's a lot of benefits to light, and it's underappreciated.
Yeah, there's so many things. Boy, this is such great information. So folks, once again here, we are talking about social jet lag, and it can happen to you every weekend. I think that Dr. Schuen might have definitely discovered the reason why Mondays get such a bad rap, all right? Even though it's going to take a little effort on the weekends to think about it. Be disciplined with your sleep schedule, and certainly with your children. So Dr. John Schuen, we can find you on Twitter at DeVos Children's.
Yes.
And then also your website through the Spectrum Health Helen DeVos Children's Hospital is www.spectrumhealth.org, correct?
That is true. Absolutely.
All right, folks. Dr. Schuen, thank you so much for being here. Listen, if you like this information in this podcast, run over to iTunes. Go ahead and rate us. We'll grow our community. We'll keep getting information out there that helps people use their mind. So mindfulness around the weekends, when you get to sleep, when you wake up, try to stay consistent. Get that discipline in there. I think overall health consequences will decrease and all your moods will increase. I am Dr. Holly Lucille. This is Mindful Medicine. I appreciate you spending time with us, and I will quote unquote see you next time.